Good morning and welcome to this, our second week of gathering in 2021. I want to welcome you to this worship-filled time of the Bridge family. Wherever you're coming from and wherever you find yourself today, know that we come to give God glory by lifting up praises and coming under the teaching and preaching of His Word because we share one faith as one family with one focus. Amen. Now, with that in mind, before we pray, I want to ask you a question as we begin this morning. I'd like you to think about, what do you suppose are the most important words, individual words, in all the Bible? If I were to ask you to make a list of the single most important words, knowing that there are many, what would your list look like? Now, if I were to ask that to an average church-going group, I would hear, most likely, answers like God, Jesus, Lord, repent, believe, church, Christians. How about you? What would your list look like? Now, I'd like to suggest to you, as you're thinking this through, that there's a word that most of us would not typically have on our list, a very ordinary word, a word that gets used so frequently that it's often overlooked in terms of its importance. This word, it's not really valued so much in its definition as it is in its role and its purpose. How about you? What would your list look like? I want you to think about a very small word because I would suggest to you that the word and, A-N-D, belongs on all of our lists. It is arguably one of the most important, one of the most impactful, one of the most significant and one of the most strategic words in all of the Bible. That's the timeless truth that I pray you'll take away today. That this little word, this conjunction, and, that you will come to understand it as one of the most important and impactful, one of the most strategic and significant words in all the Bible. My prayer is that you'll come to see that because we're talking about God's Word, that every single bit of God's information, every component of His invitation, all of His inspections, and every bit of His inspiration is all eternally important. Because we know we're talking about God's Word, and 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 remind us that this is God's breathed inspiration. We know that every morsel, every piece of God's Word is not only eternally important, but it's also always authoritative. Consequently, where God has put an and conjunction, we need to see and understand that as a part of what God wants you and me, not only to understand, but to embrace and to obey. I pray, friends, that as we press in today, that you will come to have a new appreciation for every part of God's Word, every single piece, because as you'll see in this series this year, as we focus on showing and telling the Word of God, that little word and is such an important piece to everyday living, to expressing a genuine love for our Lord. Now, today, by way of preview, we're going to look at that truth. And again, my hope is to give you a better understanding so that you can embrace God's Word, will, and way in such a way that you personally will be blessed and you'll be able to be a blessing to others. Would you pray with me as we begin? Lord, I come now and I ask you to get me out of the way, that you and your word will be heard and understood, that your spirit and your people will have a coming together here today, that the head, the heart, and the hands of each person within the sound of my voice will be eternally impacted, missionally inspired, and truly grown. Lord, as we come together supernaturally to sow, show, and grow your word, your will, and your ways, may we be found to be pleasing in your sight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Friends, let me just tell you before we get going that as we focus on this little word and, there's a need to understand that where you and I see a comma is like a hiding and. So you're going to see, we're going to take a deep dive today into this understanding of God's word that we may help others to understand God's word. And so from the very beginning, I need you to know that while we're going to focus on and, you need to understand that where you see a comma takes the place of an and, wherein when the conjunction is going to involve more than just two parts. If we have two parts, it's part A and part B. When we have more than two parts, it's part A, comma, part B, comma, and part C. So where you see a comma, think of it as an implied and, a hiding but applied and. This way you and I will come to understand the role and the importance of this conjunction and what God is wanting for you and me to understand. Now, let me just back up quickly to last week. We began by focusing on show. Today we'll focus on and next week we'll focus on tell, so that we understand the context of this series, which is designed to help us to understand the context and the message of God's word, God's will, and God's way. Last week, we focused on show, and we said we're commanded and commissioned to contend for the faith in part by showing the world God's word, God's will, and God's way. And I said to you then, and we really spoke long and hard about the fact that sometimes seeing is helpful and better, that showing people is important per God's word. Now, let me just bring you back to that. And before I go into the Bible, let me just give you a real world example. If I were to tell you about my gorgeous, beautiful, most special granddaughter, Eden Rose, I could use words that were very flattering, and I would do my best to tell you, but sometimes showing you like this, when you see Eden Rose, no doubt everyone within the sound of my voice had some form of expression of, oh, isn't she cute? Isn't she beautiful? Because sometimes seeing is better. And it's important for you and me to understand that there are times in God's word that it's his intention to show you and me things by showing those things to us in and through the lives of others. This is at the heart of the Bible's account and the call for every Christian to be a witness so that perhaps others will see Christ through the showing of him in our lives. Let me just give you three quick biblical examples. We touched on a couple of them last week, but if you look at the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8, you see one who is pressing into God in his word. But we're told in the scriptures, the Ethiopian eunuch, reading the book of Isaiah, says to Philip, how will I understand unless somebody shows me? And we saw that there are times where God will send you and me to show those that he's drawing, but you and I get to be the showing, the sowing missionaries that help. Then we looked at Nicodemus in John 3. And we saw this religious leader who had all the expertise in the world, but he was still ignorant because as Jesus was showing him And as we saw in John 3:9, Nicodemus still did not understand. He needed to have the miraculous work of Jesus show him and change him from the inside out. And that's what we saw in John 3:9. Nicodemus, talking to God, having lived his whole life, becoming an expert on God's word, found himself saying to Jesus, the Lord, how can this be? In code, would you please show me? And we noted, it doesn't matter what your resume looks like, you still need Almighty God to show you the miracle of transformation and to change you and me by grace. Another example is with one that we know of as Apollos, who was an excellent servant of the Lord. But even this one who was saved and doing mighty works for God, we're told when shown by two other believers, when Priscilla and Aquila showed him a more excellent way, he grew in his utility for the Lord. And that just simply demonstrated that sometimes, even though we know, we need to be shown so that we can know and grow and sow even better. Well, let's again now move on to this term, this conjunction and. And by way of preview, I just want to show you and in the Bible. I want to show you its role and its importance so that every time you go to the scriptures, every time you see and or a comma in the Bible, you will now have a new way of approaching it, understanding that God is showing you something that is eternally important, and that you and I and everybody else, we need to fully embrace all of what God is telling us if we are to eliminate or minimize any part of an and or comma statement in God's word. It's akin to telling a half-truth. You see, in the same way that telling a half-truth is a lie, for anyone to diminish or to marginalize or to take away half or part of an and statement in God's word, it is the same as making a consequential misrepresentation of God's truth and love. May it never be so. Today, my prayer is to show you how important this is by simply giving you a quick tour through the scriptures and to understand the role of this conjunction and. Think about it this way. And is used by God to do four critical things. Now I'm going to show it to you in five different parts of the Bible, but know that God's word uses and to connect, to contrast, to clarify, and to complement. And I just want you to think about this. How many times does God make it clear that he's connecting, he's clarifying, he's contrasting, and he's complementing so that you and I will know him better, that you and I will sow him better, that you and I in our walk and in our witness, in our worship, we will show him better to the world. Let me just give you this by way, again, of example, just a quick walkthrough in God's word. When you think about how God uses the and conjunction to connect, think about how you've learned in God's word about the Father and the Son and the Spirit. How important it is that we disciple the head, the heart, and the hands. That we do our missional work locally, regionally, and globally. That we represent the truth of God's word by understanding the roots, the fruits, and the boots. That we embrace the call to be faithfully obedient in our actions and our attitudes. That we say to people, come and see, go and tell. That we know that we're called, Matthew 10:16, to be both shrewd and innocent. That we are the people of promise and purpose. You see the connecting in Christ and his church, faith and obedience. You see it in the called and the commissioned. I think of it even in a very personal way. When you hear Jeff and Kim, it's the conjunction that speaks to our unity and our oneness. Again, God uses and to connect. He also uses and to contrast. You see, this word and, it's used by God to help to define and to describe what he wants you and me to understand. And we cannot take away any part of what he has said. Think of the and in how God contrasts things like heaven and hell, light and darkness, truth and lies, worship and worldliness, sheep and goats, wheat and weeds, shepherds and hirelings, workers and wolves, the broad road that leads to destruction, and the narrow path of life with Christ. Think of the contrast between the biblical lovers and the liars. You see, when you come to understand the role and the importance of this conjunction, you start to see how God will use it even to clarify. I think of John 3:36, the verse that is on the back of my business card. It's through the and that you understand, and God clarifies that to believe is to obey. When you believe, you have life. When you don't obey, you do not have life, but the wrath of God abides on you. Therefore, believing and obeying are together in God's word. Think about it in terms of the complementary clarifying of God's sovereignty and man's human responsibility. It's Romans 8:1 and 1 John 2:6 laid out there. Think about grace and how it's complemented to the reality of sin. How grace is clarified in its relationship to work. These are real relationships, and if we don't understand the and between them, we're going to be misled. Think about the and between abiding in Christ, John 15, and obeying Christ. You see it as Jesus furthers his teaching. He says it's in the abiding that you then will be able to and bear much fruit. It's in the and relationship that all of this comes to be. I think about the clarifying of this point when you go all the way back to Joshua. Joshua's leading the people, and when they obeyed and they did the most just amazing things, they come at this incredible city called Jericho. And what do? They faithfully obey. They do the unlikely. They don't go in their own will and way. They say, yes, Lord. And the walls came tumbling down. Amen and amen. See the clarifying how God uses this and to help us understand. We see it as well in the complementary, again, relationship between God's sovereignty and human responsibility. Between the fact that our Lord is loving and just. He is gracious and he's commanding. He's both merciful and wrathful. He's the coming and the sending Lord. He's told us in James about the complementary relationship between faith and works. He lets us know that while grace is free, it will cost us our lives. It's the both and. We're again told to be shrewd and innocent, that we are to die to ourselves and complementary live in and for Christ. It's only in understanding both sides of these biblical equations, these points that God is making, that we'll come to understand the God of the Word and the Word of God. Now, again, I just want to show this to you quickly, touching on creation, corruption, Christ, church, and his coming again, Christ's coming again. Here you see the five facts that define all of human history, all of created history. And if you can see the end from cover to cover, beginning to end, in God's glory story, I pray it will help and change the way you approach God's word, the way you absorb God's word, and the way that you share God's word. So let's just look quickly at the creation account. If you start where the Bible begins, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here we see God is making himself clear that he's creator of all things. The only one that was not created is the creator of all things. If you go on literally, just starting right from there, go into verse 2 and throughout chapter 1 of Genesis, you'll see that not only did God create all things, but out of nothing we're told, and God said, and it was so. Everything that Creator God says so will be so. By the way, this Creator God, his name is Jesus. All you have to do is tie John 1:1 together with Genesis 1:1, and you come to realize right out of the gate that we're talking about the and, Creator and Christ. Amen. We're told again in Genesis 1 that he said so and it was so. And God made and it was good. And God made them male and female. Note the design, the Creator's design. And in verse 24 of chapter 2, just to point out something here in terms of male and female, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and he will be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Note the design. He and she, father and mother, husband and wife, they come together to repeat this cycle. It's God's design. If you don't understand these ands and submit to the authority of God's word, you will be astray, and no doubt confused and corrupted. Now we see that we're told, as again, we just continue on in verse 1 of Genesis, and God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply, and God blessed them with work. Work is a blessing when you understand this conjunction. You see God's design. We're also told literally in the last verse of chapter 1, and God saw all that he made, and behold, look, pay attention, it was very good. We see that God's original design is and was good, and it's all through Creator God. This is how you and I understand the very beginning of time and reality, and it's only in our understanding of our past and the origin of Creator God and his creation that will ever make sense of what's going on here and now and what's to come. See the role and the importance of your need to grasp this and. Now, that takes us to the next point of corruption. If you will go just a couple of chapters, go over now to Genesis 3, and what you'll see is and in the corruption of all of creation. My words here is that and is embedded in human sin. And is embedded in human sin. Let me just read to you Genesis 3, verses 4, 5, and 6. And for those of you that are inclined to do it, I encourage you to go through all of chapter 3 and circle all of the ands and look at the relationship and the deeper message. But you'll find that and is embedded in human sin. Verses 3, 4, and 5, or 4, 5, and 6. The serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die. So now Satan is contradicting our Lord. Verse 5. For God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will become like God. Here's sin using that conjunction. If you disobey, you'll be like God. If you trust God, you'll be deprived. But if you go your own way, you'll have better. He's trying to keep you down. He doesn't want to lift you up. See how and is embedded in our sin. Your eyes will be opened and you will become like God, knowing good and evil. Notice the devil working with the conjunction. Verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes. Once she embraced that doubt and that work of sin, all of a sudden now it's starting to work on her flesh. And that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took some of its fruit and ate. She didn't just take, then she actually ate. And if she didn't stop there, she also gave some to her husband. So she didn't stop there and she continued. And what happened next? And he ate. One sin begets another, begets another, begets another. See the role of the conjunction to warn you and me to stay away from the doubt and the deceivers, the destructive work of the lies and the liars. Oh, friends, if you think about this, if we stay in chapter 3, we see the and go from the corruption right into the first introduction of the Christ. In Genesis 3:15, we see that in the end, we find the solution to the corruption. His name is Jesus. He's the Christ. See the end briefly here in the Christ. In the first account, Genesis 3:15, we see and in the gospel from day one. And this is Genesis 3:15, and I will make enemies of you, Satan, and the woman, human beings, and of your offspring and her descendant, of both all enemies of God and our great King who would come. His name is Jesus, the great capital D descendant. He, Jesus, shall crush your head. Amen. And you shall bruise him on the heel. Yes, he's going to go to the cross, and it's going to be a massive bruise. But it is from that cross that he will claim victory for all of the children of God. This is what's being told. You see the and, the bruising of the cross and the crushing, praise God, of the cross. You see the venom and you see the victory right here in Genesis 3:15. When you think about it, and again, I'm just giving you a treetop skimming. When you think of the and with Christ, yes, he is bruised and he crushes. He is love and he hates sin. He is creator and sustainer of all things. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last of all things. He is both gracious and merciful, praise God. He is our protector and our redeemer. He is both just and justifier, Romans 3. He is what most know, Lord, amen, and Savior. He is both our sacrificial lamb and our great shepherd. He is Christ alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. This is our Christ. See the great and at the same time, see the only alone place that he has in our lives. That's the title of today's sermon, and alone. That you've got to understand all these ands to better understand the alone and the only exclusive place where Christ reigns, not just in heaven, but in the lives of his children. And alone. Oh, I pray, friend, that you are coming to see and understand that Jesus Christ alone empowers all of our ands. It is in Christ alone that all of these ands take shape and receive power. It is in Christ alone that our promises and our purpose are defined. Oh, I pray that you have come to see, as we now come into this portrait of the church, we see the and conjunction in the biblical explanation of our church family. Not just locally, but regionally and globally, the eternal church that Christ died to give life to. And here I just offer it to you in three perspectives. See the and in the church through the great commandments, the great commission, and the great combat that we live in as the church. Think about the great commandments. You are to love the Lord God with all your heart, and soul, and mind, and strength, and love your neighbors as yourself. That we are to love both vertically and horizontally. That we love up and in and out. That we, through the great commandments and the great commission, get our very definition through this understanding of the and. That we will be the very bride and body of Christ, that we will be that people that Christ has called, commanded, and commissioned to contend for the faith by being a gathered people and a scattered people. I know for some, this is going to wreak a little havoc on some of the traditions and some of the comfort zones. But listen, if we don't understand the great commandments to be this conjunctive work of God, to have us be His very family, His ambassadors, His aroma, then we're missing the whole point. Jesus would say that if you were to sum up everything, it could be found in this conjunctive set of great commandments. I want you to look at this, and I pray, just think about whether or not you understand and embrace what it is to be the gathered and the scattered people of God, because you've come to understand His word, His will, and His way.
Sometimes we need to shatter the old, even if it's all we've ever known. For years, many churches have adopted the attractional model, where if you build it, they will come. We sang that it only takes a spark to get a fire going, and our fire was the church. So we break the bank to prop up our buildings and programs. But the lost still aren't coming. So now we must live among them, in our neighborhoods, our schools, our workplaces, everywhere. It'll require much more of us, more than friendly smiles for an hour on Sunday. And is about being a missional church, releasing incarnational people into the world. Yet it's also about coming together to refresh, to regroup, to renew our collective calling to change the world. As Jesus encouraged us to imagine like a child, we need to reclaim the courage to be scattered. It's time to explode the status quo, to break free from religion, to discover the adventure of missionary life, to learn how to fly, and together build a gathered and scattered church.
Amen and amen. I pray that that's got you a little bit calibrated, that you're thinking about what it is to be both gathered and scattered. Now, that's not only the Great Commandments, but that's at the heart of the Great Commission. And so I want you to think now about the Great Commission. And I'm going to use Matthew 28, 17 through 20 as not only our text for today's sermon, but really the point that drives home what we're sharing here. I want you to think about all of the alls in the Great Commission. Think about all the alls, and then think about all the ands in the Great Commission. Think about it, and I pray it will change the way that you understand who you've been called, created, commanded, and commissioned to be in Christ. Let me have this poet hopefully help you to see all the alls, and then we'll come back and unpack all the ands. Amen and amen.
Let me speak to the Christians, for we have encountered a commission that places itself and compartmentalization in jutting juxtaposition. For it has the all-encompassing, all-embracing, all-containing all thrice in its composition. And the first makes certain that there can be no competition. For all the authority in heaven and on earth have decreed its conscription all, given to the Lamb from the only hand that could wrangle such an outlandish command. For who else formed clouds around the sky like earth's swaddling band? Who else commanded the morning ever since days began? Who else gave birth to the stars and fathered the sand? Who else but He who had the authority to form galaxies with His oxygen? And now this authority has been given in all. All authority. The one who gives mission to the rocks and the waves is the author of the commission that instructs our ways. His authority extends over moon and eclipse and our fearful lips, over mountains and peaks and our sluggish feet, over canyons and cliffs and every cultural shift, over space and gravity, even over our own hypocrisy. All authority was granted to the King of Kings, and now this authority has transferred in enormity in order to call us to do one thing. Go. Go and make disciples. Make disciples of all nations. This is the second encapsulation, all nations. For we have not simply been commissioned to preach the gospel along our way, but to go out of our way to every tribe and every nation, every tongue and every language. For when John saw the throne room of Revelation, he saw the completed work of this commission and the panoply of diversity found in that celestial congregation. For every language, a preservationist. For every tribe, a representative. For every culture, an administrative. For every demographic, an operative. Therefore, no vowel, color, land, or custom is going to go unrepresented. And this is the age that is to come. And it is not an if, but a when. It will be done. All nations. This statement changes everything, for it redefines neighbor, expands our labor to not just focus on our nation's remainder, but to engage new lands, be gospel groundbreakers, traverse globe and equator, cross across creation with creator, to be alien invaders for this new covenant maker. And though the end will be later, we will not become be-laters. So we will push the boundary of the good newspaper until the church on earth looks like the throne room of the revelator. For the third all in the trinity of this commission's communication communicates that we can keep nothing from no one and that we can save no one for later. For we have been called to teach all that he's commanded, which means we don't get to be selective. If we want to teach grace, but not repentance, freedom, but not dependence, love, but not reverence, heaven, but not death's sentence. Teaching all that he's commanded means we put the cross at the center of every sentence. So, in no uncertain terms, let me make this obvious. We have been given all to teach all authority, all nations, all commandments, all in this statement. All has been entrusted to this people to proclaim it. So may we shout all to all nations that all has been accomplished just to save us. Thank you.
Amen and amen. That man's name is David Bowden. And that is one of my favorite videos of all time that I've shared. It's definitely in my top 20. I pray it blesses you. Now, let's come back, though, after looking at all the alls, let's just read through verse 17 through 20, and I want you to hear, listen for all the ands here. Matthew 28, verse 17 through 20. And when they saw him, Jesus, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. So here's an and. In the midst of Jesus, having already been resurrected, there are still people who see him, some worship him, and there are others who doubt. That's still true today. And if you and I don't understand that, we're going to assume everybody who says they're saved is saved. We're going to assume everyone who doubts and walks away are fine. We're not going to have a sense of urgency to go after them because they're clearly walking away from God's truth. Verse 18. And so now we see Jesus responding. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So Jesus now is going to confront by reinforcing the truth. He doesn't just let things go and say, "Well, we'll talk about it later." He confronts directly with compassion. And here again, he's making it clear that he's got all authority. He's not just the creator of heaven and earth. He's now saying expressly he has all authority in heaven and on earth. He is Lord. He is God. That's what we're seeing here. If you don't understand the conjunction, you're not going to understand the theology. If you don't understand the theology, you're not going to understand the truth. If you don't understand the truth, you're not going to understand the love. If you don't understand the truth and the love, then you're going to cling to your own opinions or the loudest voice or the sweetest talker or those who are going to tell you what your itching ears want to hear. But when you embrace this fullness and understand what God is really saying, because you understand and embrace his conjunctions, then you're going to be able to walk with the King and be a blessing. Amen. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples. So now you know why you go. Go and make disciples. If all you do is go, you're not fulfilling the commission. If you think you're going to make disciples, but you don't go and you just stay in your cocoon, you're not being fully obedient. Again, you're only doing half of the biblical and statements. And half is like a half truth. It's a consequential misrepresentation of God's truth and love. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Again, we now see the conjunctions reinforcing the teaching of the Trinity. How important is that, Christian? Verse 20, teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If you don't understand that conjunction, you might get worn out by obedience. You might forget that it's not your power that's going to fulfill the mission. It's only in your understanding of this conjunctive truth that you'll have the peace of knowing that it's the withness of Christ in your witness that will accomplish the mission. He is the muscle in every miracle. It's this conjunctive truth that brings this home. Friends, I pray that you'll see this and you'll know it to be true even in the midst of the great combat that we live in as this church, as this family of God. When we embrace the great commandments and we live in the great commission, then we're going to engage in great combat. Again, you are going to smell like life to some and death to others. You're going to call people to repent and believe. Let me tell you, that's not the same as asking somebody to go to a potluck. That's not the same as telling somebody that you can meet their felt needs. It's not the same as offering somebody a sugar stick to get them to come to your religious gathering. No, when you call people to repent and believe, you're going to find yourself in the midst of a war, just like Jesus. Just like Jesus said. And I pray you'll come to realize that as the church, you're going to know a peace that the world cannot understand, a peace that passes all understanding in the midst of tremendous persecution. God's word says that both of those, both peace and persecution, will be yours if you choose to follow him. Why is that important? If you find yourself with peace and no persecution, if you understand this truth, then you're going to ask yourself, what's wrong? Where am I missing it? Because God has said, if I truly follow him, I will know persecution. Consequently, if I don't know persecution, I mustn't be following him. There must be a problem. If you don't know this, you'll simply sit back and say, hey, this is great. Life is all about me. I don't need to have any ruffled feathers. I don't need to have any friction in my life. I like this lukewarm option, this middle road that doesn't really exist, by the way. There's only a broad and a narrow way. But if I don't understand these things, I'm not going to be able to understand what's happening in my life and through my life, what's happening in me and around me. But with this understanding, you can be the church. Now, to this end, I just want to share with you once again our Bridge Family Manifesto. And I pray here, for the first time, you may find yourself gravitating to two different words in our manifesto. And after today, maybe you'll understand them both in a better way. Read the manifesto and count the times that you read the word one, the exclusive, the alone, the only. This is all to come under that exclusivity of Christ alone, to recognize that all of what we have that is exclusive is in Christ. And then I pray that you'll read the word and like you've never done before, recognizing that our Bridge Manifesto is simply a portrait of what it is to be the church, to understand this conjunctive truth and love from God's word. With that said, I pray that you now understand and appreciate, like you never have before, why it is that our witness, our worship, our walk and our talk tell the world, even in the form of warfare, that we are responding to grace and repenting of sin. We are trusting the Bible and obeying God's word. We are growing in Christ and living Spirit-led. We are praying for guidance and following by faith. We are dying to self and carrying our cross. We are being the church and loving one another, truly loving one another. We are equipping the saints and exemplifying supernatural unity. We are ministering as ambassadors, and we are discerning matters shrewdly. We are worshiping God vertically and experiencing Him horizontally. We are proclaiming the gospel no matter what, and we are fishing for men. We are making discipled warriors, praise God, and by His grace, we are winning spiritual warfare. Ultimately and always, we are loving our King, and we are serving His kingdom, and we are serving His kingdom. Friends, I take you now just to that fifth and final point to see the flow throughout Scripture. We've seen the and in creation, in corruption, in Christ, in His church. And just simply know this, that there's a string of ands that are yours and my guarantee about Christ's coming back, the coming return of our Lord. You can see this by recognizing that from the very beginning, this has been both the plan and the demonstrated power of God. We know this from the manger and the cross, from the crucifixion and the resurrection, from the resurrection and the ascension, from the ascension to the promised return, from the return to the reign. He will return and He will reign. He will reign and He will rule, and He will rule for forever and forever. I love that the Bible doesn't just say forever, but forever and forever, to drive home the eternal point and promise of our Lord. Oh, friends, I pray that today, in this quick journey through God's word, that you see the role and the importance of God's conjunction and. I pray that it inspires you. Some, no doubt, this is informing you. Some, no doubt, are finding God inspecting you. I pray all are finding God inviting you into His truth and His love. Remember, friends, our God and His gospel call for and require our holistic response in loving, worship-filled, faithful obedience. That's truth and love from God's word. It reflects His will and it demonstrates His way. Today, I'm going to close momentarily with three songs that will underscore this message. The first one is going to bring a convicting song that calls us to the end of getting both of our hands, the left and the right, fully engaged in serving our Lord by sowing, showing, and growing to His glory by sharing His gospel locally and regionally and globally. And that's where the second song will take us. It'll be an inspirational song that says we get to be His hands and His feet. These are old songs that I pray will bless you as you listen to the words and you come to understand the and the alone, only exclusive place where Christ, our King, resides, that he empowers all of our ands, and that the only way any of us can do all of the alls and be all of the ands is in and through the one and only Christ. It is in Christ alone that we can be this family of and ambassadors. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, I pray that each one within the sound of my voice will literally be your both and ambassadors. May we become all that you have called and created us to be. May we be the and ambassadors, the and aroma, the and army of Almighty God. Amen and amen.
Amazing thing. I mean, they call this the end of Africa. We've traveled to the end of Africa.
And, you know, we drove 3 hours through this bumpy, dry terrain into this little school and community, and we literally found life in the desert. We heard amazing stories, and we met beautiful people, strong people, and can now say, too, with Yigo, that there's life in the desert.
Chains from flashed across my TV screen. Another broken heart comes into view. I saw the pain and I turned my back. Why can I do the things I want to? I'm willing, yet I'm so afraid.
This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my death.